Blog Talk Radio.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we can decriminalize marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the...
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Radical Russ Melville.
Hey everybody, welcome to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. I'm your host, Radical Russ Melville, coming to you from beautiful Potland, Oregon. That's not a typo, it's a way of life. We love it here. We love the herb. And joining me from the upper northwest corner of this great state we call Oregon, not Oregon, it's Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, Radical Russ. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for welcoming me to my show. That's thank you. So glad to be here. Hey, folks, if you want to join us on the chat line, folks are chatting it up in cyberspace. You can go to bit.ly/normalchat. That's normal in capital letters. bit.ly/normalchat. Bunch of folks there. A lot of the regulars. Glad to have you here. Today, our guest on the show will be Sabrina Fendrick from National Normal, Virginia Normal, and now announcing the new formation of the Normal Women's Alliance. This is an organization put together within Normal to help promote women's issues in cannabis law reform. For example, women, cannabis, and pregnancy, something that gets a lot of comments on our Stash blog. Carrie, I know you'll be excited for this to get started.
Oh, I'm thrilled. And after seeing all of the specifics of the actual group put down on in real print, it's very inspiring, and I can't wait. I'm just really excited about it. And the women on there, it's like a who's who of activism, and I'm just so proud to see this happen with Normal.
Yeah, it's about time. You know, women were instrumental in ending alcohol prohibition in the 20th century. They will be instrumental in ending marijuana prohibition in the 21st. So Sabrina joins us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll take your calls as well if you have questions or comments at 347-994-1810. Also, our Daily Toker Tunes today, some Groovin' Thursday music from John Doe Radio. Apropos of today's show, he brings us a band called The Beautiful Girls with a song called Don't Stop. Now, before we get too far into the show, I want to address something that I'm getting a lot of emails about, and that is on the sound quality of the downloadable podcast that you get for this show. A lot of people are coming over from our old podcast, the Normal Daily Audio Stash, which was recorded at twice the sound quality as we record here on Blog Talk Radio. The folks there at Blog Talk Radio have told me they are upgrading the quality. There will be a new higher quality coming up soon, and we will be one of the first to roll it out here at Normal Show Live. In the meantime, I am going to be recording these shows, and I will put them up live on the website up there as soon as the show is completed, and that way you'll be able to get a good quality download for your iPod or other MP3 player. So stick with us. We will get all of this ironed out just as soon as we can. So coming up in a little bit here, we're going to get to your news. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around. We're right back in just a few minutes with Cannabis Carrie and your Normal Show News.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinic has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org. Or 1-800-723-0188.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Welcome back to Normal Show Live. Time for our news.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
After many years and millions of dollars in research and development, a Vancouver, BC company has clinched a deal to sell 10,000 pounds of its advanced organic fiber, Kralar, to Hanesbrand, Inc., a well-known T-shirt company. Kralar is a durable yet soft fiber hemp fiber made from hemp in a special process. Naturally Advanced Technologies, Inc. says it can produce a certified organic yarn with the feel of cotton, but with a characteristic such as tensile strength that cotton cannot achieve. The first purchase order supplies Kralar fiber in a full-scale trial, said Ken Barker, CEO of Naturally Advanced. He went on to say that the next phase in product development would be to conduct consumer testing. Kralar is also expected to have other applications in apparel, performance textiles, energy, composite materials, and pulp and paper markets. Hemp fibers come from the non-drug variety of cannabis and have been in use for centuries in rigging, paper, and clothing. Good news from the hemp front, Russ.
Absolutely. Now, what was the name of the product again?
I think it's called Kralar. It's C-R-A-I-L-A-R. They've been working on it for years now, and this is their first Hanes T-shirt, where the first people to step up to the plate and say, yeah, we want to order it. So we're really excited to see that get into the market now.
Yeah, the Kralar. God, it sounds like an intergalactic warlord, doesn't it? We found out you owe Kralar.
And the company, Naturally Advanced Technologies, Inc., you can find them on the web, and it sounds like they've put a lot of money in research development behind it. There's a lot of backers from a company in Portland has put money into this, Portland, Oregon, our hometown. And it really looks like they're pushing to get hemp into the forefront of a commodities trade. I mean, this has been coming for a long time, and this might be the tipping point to push it into the mainstream market.
Yeah, no matter what you think about marijuana being legal or illegal, and I imagine a lot of our listeners think it should be legal, but even if you're against, marijuana as a drug, how anyone can be against hemp is just beyond me. The silly idea that we need to ban it because it looks like pot. Well, we need to ban powdered sugar because it looks like cocaine. Come on. And the other thing, too, with Hanes jumping into this, all the business that will be going to Canadian farmers, to Australian farmers, to Chinese farmers, Czech Republic farmers, and so on. All these countries, all these industrialized countries that allow for hemp production. And meanwhile, our farmers are struggling for, to have a crop that they can make any sort of profit off of. All the agribusinesses that have killed the family farms. And this is one way they could compete by growing hemp. And we don't allow them to. It's a shame that we do this in America, and I encourage everyone to get educated about hemp. There's a couple of good websites. Check out votehemp.org. They follow about the political aspects of getting hemp legalized. And thehia.org, that's T-H-E-H-I-A, that's Hemp Industries Association, and they're more on the business industrial end of the product there.
And I love these stories, Russ. Stephen Eisenhower, the chairman of Southwest Indiana Normal, is reporting that his group was approved by the county for the Adopt-a-Road program that places green signs along sections of interstate highways. The program is popular with commercial and nonprofit organizations as a way of getting their name out in the public in a rather positive way. Stephen said the process of getting the sign was surprisingly easy and a great way to meet local officials who oversee the program. Southwest Indiana Normal is joining Normal chapters in Oregon, Oklahoma, and Missouri and others where people traveling our nation's highways might happen to see a sign that Normal activists in that particular community are active and engaged in their community.
Yeah, it's a great way to get your name out, and again, something that doesn't threaten anyone. You know, your average mom and pop driving their kid down the road, and it says, you know, highway sponsored by Normal. You know, it's not a bunch of pot leaves that are showing up or anything to get frightened about. And it's a whole lot better to be picking up trash on the side of the road as a volunteer activity to promote your nonprofit organization making marijuana legal than to have to do it in an orange jumpsuit as part of a sheriff's detail because you got popped for possession. You know, we've got to do something to change these laws, and it's up to activists all around. Congratulations to Stephen Eisenhower and the folks at Indiana Normal. Check out their website at inormal.org for indiananormal.org. It's not I-N Normal. That's Inland Northwest Normal, which is in Spokane. I know, it's a little confusing. inormal.org for the folks out there at Indiana Normal.
And this is an update from a previous story. Nevadans for Sensible Marijuana Laws filed the paperwork for a new initiative for legalizing cannabis for personal use. It was filed yesterday on January 6th with the Secretary of State's office. The group can now gather the signatures needed to send the measure to the 2011 legislature. If the lawmakers failed to act, it would go on the 2012 ballot. The group had announced their intentions with a press conference last month, and Dave Schwartz, a spokesman for the group and the manager of the Marijuana Policy Project of Nevada, said the group will focus on the claims that marijuana is safer than alcohol. He says, "We will encourage voters to consider this fact and decide for themselves whether it makes sense to allow adults to use alcohol freely, but punish them if they choose to use a less harmful substance, marijuana." The measure would limit the number of retail stores to 120 in the state, with numbers determined locally by population. Store operators would pay a $2,500 licensing fee, according to the initiative, and citizens would be allowed to possess up to 1 ounce. Voters rejected initiatives for legalization in 2002 and 2006, and an attempt in 2004 failed to qualify for the ballot. But activists and supporters feel that this time around, their gamble might just come up with the win, and honestly, Russ, the odds have never been better.
Yeah, things are looking really good here. You know, first of all, the process that it goes through is kind of interesting. A lot of our western states here have, of course, citizen initiatives, and people know all about those. That's how California passed its medical marijuana Prop 215, Oregon's Measure 68, and so on. What they're doing here with this initiative sounds to me like a referendum, and that kind of situation is where you put together a petition to get this this law put before, or this bill put before the legislature. And then if the legislature doesn't do anything about it, then it goes to the people. And this can be a way to kind of get some buy-in from the legislators. You know, we talked to Paul Armentano about the California situation on Tuesday, and we kind of focused on how the act of people putting these initiatives together kind of spurs the legislators to say, well, gosh, if we want to have any say in how this goes down, maybe we ought to buy in at the legislative level. And there's somebody who forgot to turn off his cell phone before the show. So, oh boy. So the so this referendum would be really good if we can get this to go through. And, you know, hopefully at the legislative level, the legislators in the state of Nevada will get involved with this. You know, we'd rather have buy-in from the legislators if we can possibly get it. It makes it better for everyone, you know, a little less political headway. But if this goes before the voters in 2011 or 2012, whatever election that it would be put forth, I really do think it has a strong possibility of passing, especially if California passes in 2010 and Oregon does the same. All right, so that's our news, and thank you for the news, Carrie. Let's move on to our calendar.
It's 420 somewhere.
Time for our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. It's not too late to make it out to Kansas City Normal at Damage Control with Primer 55 tonight. This will be at 815 North Noland Road in Independence, Missouri. You can call kcnormal.org, 888-KC-NORMAL, or go to the web at kcnormal.org to get more details. On Friday, January 8th, Kansas City Normal is urging people to support a medical marijuana bill. Go to bill.kcnormal.org for details on that. On Saturday, Oregon Normal is having their twice-monthly cardholders meeting at the Village Ballroom in Portland, Oregon. Check out ornorml.org for that. You do need to be a medical marijuana cardholder and a member of Oregon Normal. A first-of-the-year meeting is happening in Kansas City. Again, events.kcnormal.org for details. Normal of Waco, Inc. is having a meeting at their at the home of their executive director, Cliff Duvall. For information, check out normalwacoinc.org. And coming up next week on Monday, Denver City Council is having a meeting. Mile High Normal would like you to know about that, milehighnormal.org. And on Wednesday, Ohio Normal is having their open meeting over the internet via Pal Talk.
Are you good?
It's a normal shout-out.
All right, good. And shout-outs today, we are shouting out to the South, specifically the state of Alabama. I got a great activist down there by the name of Alan Schwartz who is just getting put together the Articles of Incorporation for a new statewide Alabama normal, and they're excited about setting up chapters all across Alabama in the towns and the cities all around that state. So if you are anywhere in the state of Alabama, considering today the Tide goes for their national championship game in college football, I'm shouting out to Alabama. And to be fair, let's shout out to Texas too. If you're in the state of Texas, let's get you involved with the normal chapter. We've got a few great normal chapters there. Dallas-Fort Worth, we've got Austin, Texas, Waco, Texas, lots of places. So anywhere you are in the Lone Star State, if there's not a normal chapter near you, we'll get one set up. All you got to do is get five people together who wish to form the board of directors for your nonprofit organization, form that organization, apply for affiliation with Normal through me, and there you go, we've created a new normal chapter. For more details, just send me an email at stash@normal.org. And if you put chapter inquiry up in the subject, that'll help me notice it. Really appreciate that. We got about 20 new normal chapters formed in 2009, and I've got a 50-state strategy. I still want to get a normal chapter in every state. We've got to get one in Alabama. It's coming up soon, and you folks down there in Alabama, sign up with us. Give me an email, stash@normal.org. And for my friend Herb, that is Scott, who's down in L.A. for the championship game, Roll Tide. Okay, folks, we got to take a break. We'll be right back here with some of your Daily Toker tunes. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Check us out on the chat room, bit.ly/normalchat, with normal in capital letters. You can ask questions, and we'll answer them on the air.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny repo man? Repo man. Have you ever met that funny repo man? Repo man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that repo man.
Law420.com. Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucey is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucey understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucey IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucey IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tune, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres. Uplift, entertain, and inform the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on NORML Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana.
John Doe Radio.
I'm John Doe, bringing you a Groovin' Thursday tune. Technically, the Beautiful Girls genre of tunes is labeled as roots music, but as you listen to more of their jamming tracks, you realize it gets harder and harder to pin the group into just one style of music. The Almighty Wiki says that this Australian group draws comparisons to Ben Harper and Jack Johnson, but we all really know what that means, stoner vibes included. The band has been around since 2000 and has released 3 full-length albums and 5 other EPs, with a lot of their early music being done acoustically and currently unavailable. In 2005, the Beautiful Girls released the album We're Already Gone. The sound had more of an electric reggae feel to it than previous releases. That same year, the band was nominated for the ARIA Music Award for Best Blues and Roots Album. The Beautiful Girls have a new full-length album coming out in May, and the single off that album is called Don't Wait. So we won't. Enjoy your Groovin' Thursday tune.
Nobody move, nobody get hurt. So you will kill me, Karen, that's good. Somebody think, somebody get high. Somebody see you with the hand too high. You say you love me, then we'll see you in the morning. You say you need me, if you got nothing in for me. Wanna hit the party, but you might wanna have a home seat. Come to the end of, don't play rock. So scandalous, I can't handle this. Don't play philanthropist, but will you tell me if you're willing to dance for this? I'm romanceable, maybe chanceable. Maybe it's even in a way that we take it all. Then we break the slide, it's too late to hide. When every single one of us is the same, we try. All the plans to be, all the ways to see. But no, we ever found one that it was just a dream. So don't wake me up, no, don't wait for me. In the morning, so typical nights. 2 in the morning, typical nights. 3 in the morning, so better control. 4 in the morning, let the bank be cold. I think it's a gun that we haven't never noticed. I think it picked up everything I never noticed. Never mean a new way you look at it, but you know we can make it far. Don't live on it. So scandalous, I can't handle this. No philanthropist, but will you tell me if you're willing to dance to this? I'm momentable, need a chance to fall. Maybe it's even an old way that we take it on. Don't we break the sky, it's too late to hide. When every single one of us is the same, we try. All the plans to be, all the ways to see. But no, we ever found one that it was just a dream. So don't wake me up, no, don't wait for me. I'm so scared.
Big thanks to John Doe from John Doe Radio. Check out his show every Wednesday, posted to the net at johndoeradio.com. He's doing some great work there in Denver, Colorado, to bring informative and accurate marijuana information to the folks in the Intermountain West. Got a few minutes here, and I wanted to tackle one of our main projects that we've got going on at the Stash blog. Check it out at stash.normal.org. We're also looking for advertisers. We've got a couple of new big advertisers coming online real soon, and you'll see them popping up all over the website. But one of the subjects that we cover a lot is one that I call Politicians on Pot. What it is I have my listeners send an email to their representative or senator, either at the state or the federal level, and when they get a response, they send it back to me. Then I take it and catalog it by the political party, the state, and we file it under Politicians on Pot, so that if you have a question about whether or not your senator or representative actually supports what we're doing or is one of our opponents, you can know that. Because you can't really find a lot of that information in much detail when you surf around the web. They don't like to speak up much about it. So today we're going to focus on Representative Brad Ellsworth, a Democrat out of Indiana. This was posted by our Stash intern, Amanda, and thanks for the great work, Amanda, that you've been doing all this semester. The reader had emailed Mr. Ellsworth, Representative Ellsworth, about marijuana legalization, and Representative Ellsworth replies, "According to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, marijuana remains the most commonly used illicit drug in the United States." Well, gee, Representative, why do you think it's so popular? Maybe because it's so wonderful and relatively harmless? Okay. "While marijuana use is generally unhealthy and has negative social repercussions..." Wait a minute. Who says? Who says marijuana use is generally unhealthy? All the studies I've seen have shown that we don't have much more physical or health problems than the average person. "It also serves," he continues, "it also serves as a gateway drug to more dangerous substance abuse." All right. Now, can we finally bury the gateway drug argument? In 1999, the Institute of Medicine specifically looked at the idea that marijuana use leads to harder drug use and concluded that there is no such thing as a gateway effect. There is nothing about the pharmacokinetics of marijuana that makes someone want to try heroin. It just doesn't work that way. The only gateway there is between marijuana and heroin is the illicit black market, the drug dealer. You know why we don't call tequila a gateway drug? Because it's not sold by guys that are also selling heroin. Now, he continues on to say that, "For these reasons, I remain concerned by the prevalence of drug abuse in our culture and the harmful consequences that are the result of this behavior. As a career law enforcement officer," that nails it right there, right? Career law enforcement officer, yes, thank you. I've seen firsthand the devastating effects that illicit drug use can have both on individuals and communities." Yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree with you. Heroin use can have some very devastating effects. Cocaine use, very devastating effects on individuals. Alcohol use can have devastating effects on individuals and communities. Not marijuana use. Again, the gateway argument is a myth. So, if you'd like to contact Representative Brad Ellsworth, Democrat of Indiana, and let him know how you feel about legalizing marijuana, check out www.house.gov for the information you need to be able to make that call. Thanks for joining us here. Radical Russ here at Normal Show Live. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Sabrina Frederick announcing the Normal Women's Alliance.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and I'll just hold the ride.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
For our Normal Newsmakers today, we are joined by Sabrina Fendrick calling in from Normal headquarters in Washington, D.C. Sabrina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Russ. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. I hope I got your name right. Fendrick, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Fendrick.
Perfect. I always like to do that, having a name like Belleville, getting called Bellevue all the time. So we're announcing the launch of the Normal Women's Alliance. Tell folks out there just what NWA is all about.
Well, there's a lot associated with the NWA. It's basically an opportunity to give women who have felt left out of the movement over the years a voice and a medium to speak up and allow their opinions to be shown. So it's more addressed towards, you know, your mainstream run-of-the-mill soccer mom, kind of making it a situation where they're more comfortable voicing their opposition to marijuana prohibition. Because so many mothers and teachers and upstanding people do believe that marijuana prohibition is bad, but have been hesitant to come forward and vocalize that on a public platform. So we've gathered some of the most professional, successful public women and are forming a group to help other women feel comfortable about coming out and showing their support for normal and ending marijuana prohibition.
Do you feel that there is a greater stigma attached to women who publicly pronounce their love of cannabis?
There is, and that's also what we're trying to do with this group, is to fight the stereotype and to women. A lot of women aren't as open about their marijuana smoking because they're afraid they're going to be looked at as stoners or lazy. And, you know, women, professional women already have a hard enough time trying to prove themselves in the workplace without trying to add on an extra stereotype because of their recreational use. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, this has been something that's come to fore in the past year. In 2009, of course, we saw that phenomenon from the Marie Claire article where they came up with the title Stiletto Stoners, which I'm not too fond of, but, you know, gosh, it's so alliterative. And, of course, they focused this on the Today Show, and we've got women now coming out talking, you know, Republican moms for marijuana and women talking about using medical marijuana to treat their kids for autism. It seems like women and marijuana have gotten greater exposure than ever before. And
absolutely.
Is this a move to capitalize on that?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is to kind of contain and move this whole energy forward, just trying to make it more legitimate and make it so people understand that it's not just a random coincidence that women all over the media are popping up showing their support, that this is, you know, this is something that we are ready to step up and say that enough is enough. And as mothers and grandmothers and aunts and sisters and daughters, we're not going to take it anymore, and we're not going to be ashamed to say it.
That's excellent. We're speaking with Sabrina Fendrick from Normal National Office in Washington, D.C., coordinating the Normal Women's Alliance. Check it out at norml.org/women. And also, Sabrina, just wanted to mention here, up on that site, you do have a whole bunch of folks on here that are a part of the Alliance. Can you tell us some of the charter members that are coming on board?
Well, we have there's a lot of very successful women. We have Jessica Corey, who is a political activist and attorney in Colorado. She was voted one of the most politically influential Republicans in the state of Colorado, and she is helping to promote this. There's a video of her speaking on Fox News on our website on the Normal Women's page. There is Beverly Hills Normal founding director Cheryl Schumann, who is moving forward in California and bringing more attention to the issue than has been previously seen. We have Madeline Martinez, who is my personal martyr. I really look up to her and everything that she has done. I really think that she's a great idol to look up to.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Is somebody who has really done it right and properly. So that is one of the people I would like to highlight the most is Madeline Martinez. And,
well,
you know, being a grandmother, very impressive women.
Absolutely. And a few other names on the list here. Anne Dryan, folks, if you don't know who Anne Dryan is, she's the chair of the Normal Foundation and a film producer, but also folks know her as Carl Sagan's wife, the late astrophysicist Carl Sagan from Cosmos. Barbara Ehrenreich, a best-selling author and a newspaper columnist. Mickey Norris from Cannabis Consumers Campaign. And Debbie Goldberry from the Berkeley Patients Group, among others. If you're interested in more information about the Normal Women's Alliance, again, norml.org/women. We're also taking your calls here at 347-994-1810. And speaking of women in the Normal Women's Alliance, calling in, I don't know if from Beverly Hills or from Tahoe, but Cheryl Schumann, the founding director of Beverly Hills Normal. Cheryl, welcome back.
Hello, Russ. Hello, Sabrina. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. You had a comment about the Alliance?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I'm honored and thrilled to be a part of it all. I have to agree with Sabrina. In fact, Sabrina was the person who inspired me the most to really become more active in the movement when she wrote a blog after the Stiletto Stoners article came out. And in addition, I agree with Sabrina as well. Madeline Martinez is the role model that I aspire to be. I admire her strength. I admire her passion. The success of the Cannabis Cafe, there has been an international phenomenon, and I just hope that I can make her proud of what we're doing down in Beverly Hills.
Oh, well, thank you, Cheryl. I want to encourage folks to check out Beverly Hills Normal's website at normal90210.org. Thanks for joining us, Cheryl. I'm going to put you back on hold for just a moment so we can continue off with Sabrina here. Sabrina, as we look down the positions of the Normal Women's Alliance, you have five major planks here, and I was wondering if maybe you could discuss these a little bit for our audience.
Sure. Well, number one says the Normal Women's Alliance believes that the fiscal priorities of marijuana prohibition are wasting billions of dollars on a failed policy, which is nothing new, you know. This is something that people have been saying all the time. We are just, it's a policy that is also endorsed by the Normal Women's Alliance. So it's not something new that activists haven't seen before. Number two is the Normal Women's Alliance believes that marijuana prohibition violates states' rights and improperly expands into the families and personal lives of otherwise law-abiding citizens. And this has a little bit more of a maternal angle. This is where it's really not the government's business to raise a child. It is a parent's business to raise a child, and it's up to the parent to decide how their child is going to drink alcohol and when they're going to drink alcohol. It should be up to the parent to enforce whatever rules they deem worthy of enforcing and not up to the
government. You know, I think that's an important thing here, especially when we start talking to parents and to mothers, is to emphasize, you know, it's not necessarily that the mothers or that we're talking to are going to be using cannabis themselves, but their teenage kids might, and do you want to have them thrown in jail?
Absolutely. I mean, there's countless – this destroys families. from my own experience, I know countless people whose parents have just, it's torn them apart. The mothers just completely agree with it. Their children are in jail. They have to go to court. They're on trial and dealing in the judicial system for over a year. You know, it's just, it's something that sheds a different angle, a different light onto the issue. So that's number two. Number three is more of a youth-oriented. We call for an open, honest conversation about marijuana with America's youth that is void of propaganda and misleading information. Also, you know, this includes the gateway theory. And like you were speaking of before, how the gateway theory is completely false and basically implies that, you know, marijuana is in the same category as heroin and cocaine. And when students hear all of these made up stories or, you know, associations, they and try marijuana because marijuana is most prevalent, then they're going to say, well, marijuana isn't as bad. Maybe they lied about heroin as well. Maybe they lied about cocaine. There's a mistrust in the government when there's propaganda that is not followed up by facts. So we need to educate people. I know nobody knows anything. Nobody was taught anything real, statistical, factual in school. I know I wasn't. I'm pretty sure you weren't. Anything other than the drug war, drugs are bad, stay away from pot.
Right,
you know,
here's
your brain on drugs with the egg smashing.
We all remember that one. That's
absolutely.
Sure.
You know, and the pictures of, you know, I smoked a joint and then went and, you know, forgot to pick my brother up from school or hit somebody with a car. Just these overhyped ads that are sending the wrong message.
Right, right. And so how does the Women's Alliance make any specific stand against things like DARE, the DARE program?
That's something that I'm interested in looking into. That's kind of what was in mind when it was written up. I went through DARE. I don't know if did you go through the DARE program?
I think I missed DARE. I graduated high school in 85, so I think I was just on the tail end of getting away from that.
Okay, so I remember going through the DARE program, and it just completely, looking back, it's all just propaganda and fear and completely baseless. So yeah, that is something that I would like to look into in the future.
Okay, and your last couple of stances here?
We endorse science-based evidence regarding the therapeutic applications of medical marijuana and continuing research, which is nothing new as well. It's just specific issues within the whole argument, the whole umbrella that is reforming marijuana laws that we're highlighting. So that's another one that everybody already agrees with. And then the fifth one is, I think, unique, where the Women's Alliance strongly opposes the sexual exploitation and objectification of women in pop culture and business marketing, which is the kind of stoner ads. If you open up some cannabis culture-related magazines.
Right, I know what you're talking about. Naked women with buds covering them and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
SpeedOrderMe.com or whatever that company is that basically only uses ads of naked women, with, you know, weed as pasties.
Yeah, and it's not surprising when we have a situation like that and we look at the ranks of marijuana law reform and it seems, you know, overwhelmingly dominated by men. You got to set an environment that's more welcoming to women, and I think this is really important, a really important part of what the Normal Women's Alliance will be doing. I'm looking forward to that, and we're hoping we can get some folks to call in if you've got some questions here for Sabrina. We're going to take a short break to run some commercials and pay some bills. Sabrina, hang on the line here. We'll be right back with you. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Give us a call at 347-994-1810 or chat with us at bit.ly/normalchat.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubbard. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, or paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Hey.
Join the conversation now. Call Normal Show Live, 347-994-1810. That's 1-347-994-1810. We're taking your call now.
Welcome back. It's 45 after the hour, and we're visiting with Sabrina Fendrick, who's the coordinator in Washington, D.C., of the new Normal Women's Alliance. Check them out at norml.org/women. And if you'd like to send an email, you can send an email to womensalliance@normal.org. Sabrina, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
All right. So coming up for this year, 2010, is a big monumental year. We're looking at marijuana legalization initiatives in various states and much more activity in medical marijuana. What are the future plans that you have for the Women's Alliance project-wise to further these initiatives and to get more female support?
Well, there's several things in the works. One of the big things that I'm looking to do is put on a formal event in Washington, D.C. sometime in the spring, where I'd like to call all these ladies together, have a conference of some sort, a panel. It's all in the works, and I'm looking at venues right now. So that's something that I'm going to be doing and working on that's going to be high profile. We're also going to open this up to more people as the project evolves, as the alliance continues to grow and people show interest. It's not just these particular women that are listed on the press release. So we're definitely trying to expand and reach out to everybody that wants to be involved in this and that wants to register their frustrations with current marijuana policies as a woman, as a mother, people that just feel left out of the movement or the culture that's associated with the activism. So we're just trying to make it more inviting and reach out to everybody. So it's going to be very inclusive.
Okay, that sounds great. And, you know, looking back at this previous year, 2009, you know, in the last segment I mentioned the Stiletto Stoner story and how women have become much more visible in the media talking about marijuana. Another place where we've seen women's support is in the polls. The Gallup poll from 2005 registered support among men and women for marijuana legalization, and then they did another poll in 2009, and while the support among men rose 1%, the support among women rose 12%. What do you think has happened? What is the reason that women's support has gone up so much in just 4 short years?
Well, that's a good question. That's something that, you know, you would want to ask an economist. Or I would say that people are just, in the last 4 years, more has been coming out, more has been happening in marijuana law reform than has happened in the last 40 years. So I think that has something to do with it. It's being brought up in conversation more. It's something that more people are willing to come forward with. More women, these statistics are showing that more women are consuming cannabis. So I think it's just a confluence of forces from all sides that are coming together and making people feel more comfortable about it. I think that probably you can't pinpoint one specific thing.
Okay. You know, one thing I was thinking about with regards to this is the success of that Showtime series Weeds, you know, portraying the suburban mom, Nancy Botwin, who's, you know, selling marijuana on the side. And while it is, you know, it's kind of camp as far as, you know, a little outrageous in some respects, I wonder, do you think that may have had any effect on women's thinking toward this?
I hope so. I would like to think so. I unfortunately don't get HBO or Showtime. I'm not sure what it's on. So I never got to watch it until I had a roommate. I think that I wish it were on cable and more widespread. I think that it would move it up faster. But I think, yeah, absolutely. The cultural interpretation of women and cannabis is definitely being produced in a better light with the show Weeds and Nancy Botwin. I think that she is one of the better role models in the current culture of cannabis for women.
All right. And with regards to the fifth plank that you have as far as opposing, you know, the sexual exploitation and objectification of women in pot culture and business marketing, what steps are you going to take to try to rectify that or to convince these advertisers and magazines and such to, you know, spice it up or spruce it up a little bit, I should say?
Well, you know, we're not trying to go out and tell everybody to shut down what they're doing. I think, you know, everybody has a right to freedom of speech. It's just a position that we're going to hold and not engage in sponsorships with people, with companies that are using that kind of marketing that is degrading. I think there's going to be different kinds of public statements probably made with regards to certain advertisements in the future. So, you know, it'll be done through the media, but nothing, no direct action is going to be taken to try to physically stop people from putting their ads forward. I mean, you have to eat, money is money, but it's just something that I don't agree with and the women involved in this don't agree with.
So it's a matter of, you know, a gentle kind of making your opinion known, but nothing like boycotts or protests or anything.
Not at this point.
Okay.
But
okay,
I wouldn't, you know, disregard it entirely.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that evolves as things go on here. And again, I want to encourage people to check out the Normal Women's Alliance at normal.org/women or send an email to womensalliance@normal.org. Sabrina Fendrick has joined us from Washington, D.C. at the Normal National Offices. And Sabrina, thanks for making this announcement here on our show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. We've got a few minutes here left in the show. Want to open up the phone lines for general questions. Got a couple here in the chat room, and I've got one hanging on hold at the moment that we'll get to in just a second. Let me review what we've got here in the chat room. We had Kane Chicago in the chat room was curious what sort of effort is being done by Normal on a planning and economic development standpoint in the states which have medical marijuana dispensaries, as this is often where municipalities are attempting to influence and hamper things. In various Normal chapters, California Normal is one that stands out to me. California Normal is involved in trying to work with the government there in Los Angeles County to make sure that they come up with reasonable dispensary regulations. Southern California Normal, SoCalNormal.org, Craig Barish and those folks down there are working to defend the owners of dispensaries who have been charged by the renegade District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis, who just wants to shut down all medical marijuana in San Diego. We have Normal chapters in Colorado, Mile High Normal, and among others, Colorado Normal and so on, that are working with the dispensaries there in order to make sure that their rights are defended. And I recall a few of our attorneys from the Normal Legal Committee actually going to court and getting medicine for patients returned to them. So at the local level, Normal chapters are working in the states that currently have dispensaries to defend them and to make sure their regulations are reasonable and responsible. In the states without dispensaries, there are Normal chapters that are working for dispensaries. Southern Oregon Normal and Willamette Valley Normal in Oregon are working on an initiative called I-28 to actually institute a dispensary system. Other Normal chapters are focusing on that as well. However, I think it's important that we all remember that medical marijuana only encompasses about 5% of the people who use marijuana. And Normal is the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws, not just medical marijuana laws. There's only one M in Normal. So while we do encourage the passing of medical marijuana laws, passing of dispensary laws, and so on, as marijuana law reforms, we understand that's just a step. That's just one step in the chain here as far as protecting the rights of all Americans to reclaim their hemp heritage. So that's what Normal is doing on that line. Let me get to this next one on the air here. Dustin in California has a question. He tried calling into a show previously, so let's see if we can get him on the air here. Dustin, are you there? Oh, let's try that again. Dustin, can you hear me? All right, we're going to see if we can get that online here in just a second. Having some problems with the switchboard. Let's go back to the chat room where Datrabor, I'm probably butchering that name, Datrabor, has asked, has anyone heard Well, let's see. Just missed the question there. Has anyone heard about a bill in Tennessee, the Tennessee Medical Marijuana HB 0368? Has it passed or going to pass the Public Health and Family Assistance of Health and Human Relations Committee there? I have not heard any forward movement. I think it has died in committee, but to be absolutely sure, go to normal.org's Take Action Center. Just go to normal.org and look for the little box on the side that says write your representatives. That takes you to our Capitals Center. All of the action alerts that are currently active for all states will be listed there. So check that out at normal.org. All right, so we're going to continue on here. We're going to take more calls here. If I can get Dustin on the line, I'm going to try one more time here. Here we go. Looks like it's going to happen. Dustin, can you hear me, man?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's your question, sir?
My question to you is when do we rally our base and start picketing? I mean, like, at what time do we stop just writing letters and doing all this other stuff and actually take it to the extreme and show these people how disgusted we are with being arrested for marijuana use?
Well, I would say that day is the first Saturday in May. That is the date of the Global Marijuana March, and in I think about 300 cities worldwide, activists get together with their protest signs and march and protest this.
That's awesome. Well, I've actually sent in a request for the Million Marijuana March to come to my town here in Fresno, and I actually got no response.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I can help you put that together. Send me an email at stash@normal.org if you're looking to form or to get some coverage of your march there in your city. I've got contacts with the people there at the Global Marijuana March, and maybe we can get something going for you.
That would be awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your question, Dustin. Appreciate that. And let me go back to the line here and bring Cannabis Carrie back on the air. So, Carrie, how you doing up there in Astoria?
Oh, I'm doing great, Russ. That was a really wonderful interview with Sabrina, and I can't wait to see this thing really take off. We were saying in the chat room, it's like a fantasy football team of all the women activists who really have made a difference so far, and now we're all coming together. I mean, it's just strength to the power of 100. It's going to be great.
Oh, I love the list there. Some great women that are involved in this, and we're really looking forward to this taking off. Let's see here. I was also wondering, you know, just wanted to talk to you about this, this idea of the objectification of women in pop culture marketing. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Just not too many that haven't already been splashed across every blog comment I can put on there. But just that it's sort of time to remove a lot of the stereotypes. You know, we've been talking about the hippie stereotype, you know, the smelly, dirty hippie, and that's sort of been a stereotype that's been hard to shrug off. Well, you know, the cannababe has kind of been one that's sort of a monkey on the back of professional women who want to be taken seriously when it comes to them explaining to people that they're marijuana activists. So I think this is just an evolution that was bound to happen regardless as we all evolve and move and grow up in this the movement of cannabis reform. It's just something that was bound to happen anyway. We're all growing
right
up, Russ. That's all it is. We're all growing up.
I think so, too, and it's time that this started getting a more serious look from women all around, and I think the Normal Women's Alliance is going to go a long way toward making that happen. Really excited about it, too, here at Normal. So, again, if you're interested in getting involved, it's norml.org/women, or send an email to womensalliance@normal.org. Got to wrap up the show. Once again, the hour flies by. Check out the blog at stash.normal.org. More information for you there, all the stories that we cover. And you can get more, and you can comment there as well. Just build yourself an account. We'll be glad to have you. For everyone here, for Cannabis Care and everyone at Normal, I'm Radical Russ Belville reminding you to take care of each other, tokers.
We love the earth.
This
is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hang it on one more time.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Oh, yeah, it's time for Normal Show Live after the show, the time where we get a chance to just unwind. We're going to come up with a theme song for this. I'm going to get one, I swear.
For the after the show, yeah, something nice and Oprah-esque.
Yeah, well, it'll be all nice and
a little Kenny G in the background.
There we go. Well, we can't do Kenny G. It's not pod safe, so.
Oh, that's right. He's not safe for anyone.
Yeah, he's not elevator safe, right? Oh boy. So tonight's the national championship game. You know, Scott Gordon, our friend from Herb Age Designs, he's down in LA right now. He's been tweeting all day. He is so excited.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so excited for the Tide. And you know, when he gets back, I'm hoping Alabama wins, right?
Right.
I really, really hope, because you know, Boise State won. And you know, so we're 14-0, and I've already got my teasing ready to go to tell him that Alabama, congratulations on being the third team in history to go 14-0 since Boise State was the second. We got that on him, right?
All right.
And I've been calling Boise State the champion, the national champions of the separate but equal division.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yes, yeah, so we can be co-national champions. I think that'll work out okay. Hey, for folks that are listening to the normal after the show, you get some special rumors here. This is, it's like Perez Hilton kind of, except we don't draw things on people's faces.
Nice.
The latest rumor I wanted to confirm for folks has to do with Cannapalooza out there in Las Vegas. And, I'm going to check something else before I do that. Can you hear that obnoxious hum?
Yes. What is that?
Yes. That's the computer line. So I'm going to put this off for a second and see if the hum goes away. But
oh,
when
that's
the
a
hum
good
goes
time
away,
to check it out.
Can you still hear me talking? Did you hear me still talking when the hum went away?
I think I can still hear a remnant of the hum. Maybe it's just my ears now.
No, the hum is still there.
Nope, it's gone, yeah. Okay.
Well, the hum goes away when you start talking, but as soon as stop talking.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, as soon as you stop talking, the hum is there. So I'm going to try this to see if I turn that off. If I turn your channel off, can people still hear me? So I'm going to do that right now, and I'm going to say the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
I didn't miss a letter.
Did you hear the alphabet?
I heard the entire alphabet.
You heard it all?
Yes, I did.
Fantastic. Okay, so that means I can kill that channel without killing the show.
That's good to know.
That's really good to know. Well, I appreciate it.
And I don't hear the hum now, Russ, so maybe that probably was it.
Yeah, and
I just thought it was the universe sending a message that I don't talk enough.
That could be it. But, yeah, I appreciate everyone that's hanging out while we try to get this sound stuff taken care of from moving over from the old show to the new show. You know, everybody's raising stink about the sound quality, you know, being about half the quality of what it was when we were doing the recorded podcast, and that's true. And I'm assured by the folks at Blog Talk Radio that they're going to be upgrading the audio quality here in the first quarter. I hope that means closer to January than closer to March.
Sure. You know, Russ, how are the tech people over at Blog Talk Radio? Are they giving you? Do you feel like they're giving you lip service? I mean, you're a tech guy.
Because I forgot to do it. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to do it. Yes, I know.
I saw that you forgot to tape it today.
Yeah, I forgot to tape it. I taped it.
I'll send you a little reminder.
Thank you very much.
I put it in there that, yes, you have about 50 more chances to get it right this year, so don't worry. You can try again tomorrow.
I can try tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But I appreciate all the listeners who are sticking with us as we work through this. We had to move to the live format. It was just becoming far, far too much work to do the recorded podcast. It was getting later and later in the day that it was getting posted, and the money that we're spending on Blog Talk Radio, it seemed like we should do more than just four shows a month. So I hope everyone sticks with it.
The services that they have, the screening rooms, the 100 call line, I mean, we just can't get that kind of service anywhere else that we know of. So that's the thing that's holding us back of changing to another provider. Really, they're the only ones that we can find that can provide the format that we need for a live call-in show. I mean, the first day, I think we had 17 people that were called in and listening or asking a question. I mean, we just can't do that with Stick'em or Fancast or any of those other softwares that
that run the internet out there.
Well, and for us, of course, the benefit of you being able to be in Astoria and me being in Portland and still being able to conduct a show over just regular telephone lines, you know, this is
right.
the kind of thing I used to do in professional talk radio over ISDN lines, but, you know, we're not going to go and install all that in your house up there in Astoria.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's about all we have for after the show. I just wanted to make those explanations to folks. Other places I'll be going here in the early spring, looks like in February I may get the chance to go down to the United States Virgin Islands. Hooray
that
for me.
Awesome.
Yes, it does.
And you don't need a passport, right? No passport to get to the Virgin Islands.
Oh, yeah, this is what I was telling everyone about. March 19th through 21st is Cannapalooza in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. It's a three-day, you know, hemp pot cannabis expo, and they're asking me not only to speak at the event but also to MC the speakers panel all 3 days. So it looks like, and cross your fingers on this, but we'll be taking our entire Normal Show Live crew, myself, Cannabis Carrie, Terry of Astoria, Cousin Kenny, and my own wife Morgan Fairchild, we'll be down there in Las Vegas to enjoy that and to broadcast live from that expo down there at the Mandalay Bay. So
that'll be a lot of fun.
March 19th through the 21st, and not confirmed yet, still a rumor. And
so you would
for
be like us.
I will be at the University of Washington in Tacoma, Washington, doing a speech and a lecture and question and answer session there as well. So the travel schedule is already heating up. That's like a gig once a month, February, March, April, and we haven't even hit the summer festival circuit. Wow.
Here we go.
Grab
on your speedo.
Yeah, it's good work if you can get it. All right, well, we're going to call it a show. Thanks, everybody, for listening to After the Show. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We'll see you later.